It might seem obvious to say that musicians who perform their own material are obsessed with songs. I mean, after all, that's what they do, isn't it? Write and perform songs. But it's a bit different with John Flansburg and John Linnell. Or They Might Be Giants, as they're collectively known. Since the late 1980s, They Might Be Giants have been creating their own inimitable brand of popular music. Music that draws on such diverse sources as The British Invasion and Tin Pan Alley. And lyrics that cover an equally wide range of territory, from President James K. Polk to Hovering Sombreros. John Flansburg described They Might Be Giants music for Steve Paulson.
Well, I think it would be very easy to sort of categorize what we're doing as novelty music because it does have this sort of sensational, hyper-graphic, over-the-top quality to it. But I think for us, the idea of doing something that doesn't stand up to repeated listening is kind of, by definition, invalid. So in some ways, I think we choose to flatter ourselves by thinking that we're in some grand tradition of popular songwriting, and we're pretty monomaniacally obsessed with the song as an idea. I think, you know, whether it's popular songs from like show tune era or the early rock and roll era or whatever traditional music you're talking about, things that are songs are something that like we've always been interested in. So there is kind of like a sort of a music historic aspect of what we're doing, but at the same time, the lyrics of what we're doing are kind of probably beyond easy categorization. And
I would say that like the guiding rule about what kind of song we're writing is we just don't want to feel like we're rule bound, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's, I mean, what we wind up doing is stuff that sounds personal, you know. We can't write outside of our own abilities, so we just try to write everything within the limits of what we can do. And, you know, I think if what we're doing sounds like something we or somebody else has already done, then that's a count against it, you know.
But what's interesting hearing you describe this is you're really talking about drawing from all kinds of different traditions. I mean, the history of popular song in a way.
Yeah.
And that's very
yeah.
noticeable on your albums, well, is, you know, drawing from all these different genres, yeah. I guess you
it's
could say.
It's one of the advantages of growing up in the suburbs.
right, is that, ethnically diverse,
yeah,
cultural place.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, you know, I think in some ways we don't pretend to be authentic. And I think, you know, for some people, that's a very upsetting idea. You know, I mean, music has to be authentic something. I think in some ways we're just kind of authentic white guys, you know, and that we live in a modern culture where, you know, there's all sorts of diverse influences on us, and we haven't made the decision to filter it out or to create some kind of elaborate pose that we are from somewhere else. We're not, you know, we're really from down the street from everybody who's listening to this program, you know, and we are well aware of all sorts of cultural things. And, you know, we want to do something original. It's definitely an original project. But that said, it's not about pursuing some very narrow
It's not idea. About, in other words, it's not about exoticism or, mm-hmm. the idea of doing something that sort of implying that like some other culture is inherently more interesting than our own, you know, even if it is.
Right.
Well, let me ask you about one of your classic songs, Istanbul, Not Constantinople.
Well, that's a good example because we didn't write it.
Oh, okay.
That song actually is a cover. We've recorded about 300 songs and mm-hmm. about a dozen of them are covers. But that one actually was probably like one of our biggest hits. And
so what made you want to record that?
We did it in the live show for a long time. We had a show at this place in Norfolk, Virginia, that wanted us to play on our very first tour, maybe our second tour, for 2 hours. And we were used to playing in New York City for about 20 minutes. So we had to cook up a bunch of material. And so it was kind of it was an easy song to do that we were both familiar with. It only has two chords. And it gave us the ability to yodel in the show. So right. It was just a kind of a fun, and, you know, a cheap and cheerful cover.
Yeah. I think that the thing of it that was appealing to me about that song was that it was this popular song from the pre-rock era. It was, you know, part of this time that had been kind of obliterated by Jimi Hendrix when we were sort of growing up, you know. So that was really something that was compelling about it for us, about that whole type of music, that period after the war but before rock had rewritten history in its Stalinist way.
Well, you've actually brought in some of your instruments, as well as guitar player Dan Miller. And
his guitar.
And his guitar, yes. Maybe we could hear.
We'd love to.
Istanbul, Constantinople, now it's Istanbul, a Constantinople, been a long time gone, a Constantinople, now church alight on a moonlit night. Every gal in Constantinople lives in Istanbul, a Constantinople, so if you've a date in Constantinople, she'll be waiting in Istanbul. Even old New York was once New Amsterdam. Why they changed it, I can't say.
People just liked it better that way.
So take me back to Constantinople.
No, you can't go back to Constantinople.
Been a long time gone to Constantinople. Why did Constantinople get the works? That's nobody been to but a Turk.
Istanbul.
Istanbul.
Istanbul. Even old New York was once New Amsterdam. Why they changed it, I can't say.
People just liked it better that way.
Take me back to Constantinople.
No, you can't go back to Constantinople. Been a long time gone to Constantinople. Why did Constantinople get the works? That's nobody's business but the day. Istanbul.
Now, one thing that's striking about some of your songs is you're kind of going through different genres in the same song. I'm thinking about, say, Fingertips, which, you know, sounds sort of like this K-Tel commercial.
Right. Well, that song is unique in our repertoire. We don't have any other material like that. But it is kind of like a TV ad for a collection of greatest hits. And in some ways, it is kind of central to what we think about and what we like is the idea of variety. And I mean, part of it, I think, is the strangeness of just hearing a half of a chorus of something that makes it seem compelling.
Everything is catching, yes, everything.
I hear the wind blow, I hear the wind blow. It seems to say, hello, hello, I'm the one who loves you so.
Hey now everybody, now hey now everybody, hey now everybody now.
Who's that standing out my window?
I don't know if they still have these ads on TV, but it was such a common thing all the time we were growing up. And a lot of those songs you would never learn. You'd never hear any of the song except for this really brief fragment, which would get stuck in your head, you know. So that seemed like a whole genre of music.
Well, one of your more interesting experiments is I Can Hear You Without Electricity. Tell me how you recorded that.
We got invited to the Edison Museum in, is it in South Orange or East Orange or West?
It's in one of
the oranges in New Jersey, and it's basically Edison's laboratory. We got invited to do this presentation that was like a, for demonstration purposes, every year the people at WFMU and the people at Edison Museum get together and do a live demonstration of wax cylinder recording. The wax cylinder was the precursor of the phonograph record. It was created by Edison. It's basically, you know, I guess it was made in the 1880s. It was the first mechanical reproduction of music, and it didn't involve electricity. It was obviously sort of like before the widespread use of electricity. There's just a warm wax cylinder that's spinning around and a needle kind of cutting a groove into it. And you just put up these giant cones. What's strange is that the way it goes in is the same way that it goes out. You know, and basically you sing into a cone and then then what you sang into the cone plays out of the cone. And we wrote this song, I Can Hear You, that as kind of a tribute to all the different ways that the speaker has stuck around in our lives. This was the first thing that actually had a speaker attached to it. And so it has car alarms and intercoms and, you know, and like cell phones and phones on airplanes and all sorts of like little aspects of modernity that all kind of started with the wax cylinder recorder. So it's our homage to the wax cylinder recorder.
What's your order? I can supervise that. Bring your car around. I can hear you, just barely hear you. I can just barely hear you.
Tell me about your song, Drink.
It's a very strange song in that it's very tightly written. I think it's a little bit, the lyrics come really fast and furious, but it's basically about two guys out on town on a real bender. And it's really, you know, it's a song for alcoholics. You know, it's about alcoholism and it's in its truest, you know, most desperate, dire form. And I think, you know, what's...
It neither condones nor condemns the behavior.
Yeah. But, you know, I think it has the manic qualities of that, you know, kind of lifestyle choice that's hard to sum up. Because I think one of the things about all forms of addiction that generally get ignored is that there actually is, like, an excitement to it. I mean, there's a reason that people do it, and that's because it's, like, really exciting. You know, it's not just kind of exciting. It's actually crazy exciting. And so it's really about that. But, you know, obviously it's a very desperate and kind of dire song as well.
Well, since you have your instruments here, would you be up for playing Drink?
Sure.
I'll take back my pinata. It's wasted on you. Just spinning that pool cue all over the room. And give back the blindfold that's under your shoe. Let's drink, drink. This town is so great. Drink. Drink, 'cause it's never too late to drink, drink, to no big surprise. But what words rhyme with buried alive? What words rhyme with buried alive? You could be afloat for the 4th of July, based on your theme of wallflowers grown wild. Look through your people, you've won every prize. Let's drink, drink, this town is so great. Drink, drink, 'cause it's never too late to drink, drink, to no big surprise. But what words rhyme with buried alive? What words rhyme with buried alive? In your monkey suit on a cigarette break, the lunchtime crowd, they won't even blink. But you'd be sad if they did, but you'll be sad. Let's drink, drink, this town is so great. Drink, drink, 'cause it's never too late to drink, drink, to no big surprise. But what words rhyme with buried alive? What words rhyme with buried alive?
John Linnell and John Flansburgh of They Might Be Giants, along with guitarist Dan Miller, performing a song from their album Mink Car. They spoke with Steve Paulson.